Welcome to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast, brought to you by Vautier Communications. I'm your host, Jen Alex, and the goal of this show is to uncover communication strategies and behaviors that you can use to improve the way that you show up and perform at work. We'll talk about what effective communication looks like in action so that you can apply it to your own career. If you'd like a written summary of each episode, subscribe to our weekly email newsletter by visiting vautiercommunications.com. Welcome back, everyone, to another year of the Speak As Well As You Think podcast. And this month, we are going to kick off talking about SMART goal setting through the lens of effective communication. When I talk about SMART, it means it's an acronym. So it stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So let's start by talking about how we can set goals that actually succeed, because we know that that can sometimes be tricky for us to do. So Matt, do you want to kick us off there?
Yeah, of course. And I think one of the best things that we want to talk about is some of those things we use at Vautier as a whole, whether we're coming into a presentation, whether we are writing an email or here, whether we're setting goals with ourselves or with other people, is it's got to be clear, it's got to be confident, and it's got to be something that we want to get behind. Those are three of those biggest pieces. The first piece meaning we need to understand what we're looking to do. So whether that is laying this out from a point of view of this is the task that I'm looking to take a piece out of, or this is the general skill that I'm looking to make a change on, giving yourself one of those clear outlines to understand how you're going to take those steps is important. But then going one step further and making sure, hey, maybe it's not just you. When you are communicating this to other people within the sphere, maybe this is talking about efficiency in the workplace, communicating this with your boss or other coworkers that are going to be able to see this skill making the change or progressing and help you to make some of those comments. A lot of the things that sometimes what we see at this point are, one, we come in with goals that we're not quite sure where to start or how to start. We just know we want to do maybe better at something, which doesn't tend to help us very much. Or we have a bunch of people that aren't quite sure we're trying to change a task or trying to change a behavior. And for that, they may just think we're okay with the habits we're used to. So therefore, they're not likely to call out any of those changes or follow up on any of those changes. Typically, that speaking up, that expressing, and that talking through helps to create a form of clarity or a form of level-headedness throughout us and those other people that are in our daily lives that help to kind of reassure some of those positive skills that come out.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too when you say clarity, especially, you know, we think about the beginning of the year and everybody wants to get healthier. And so people set a goal that I'm going to be healthier this year. But that's a pretty wide open, vague goal. Does that mean cooking your meals and packing your own lunches every single day? Does that mean going to the gym and lifting or doing some type of resistance training X amount of days a week? Does that just mean doing some form of physical movement every single day? So what exactly is the thing that you're looking for? If the goal is too vague, that's where a lot of times they fail, because as the person setting the goal, I'm not even sure what it means. And when life gets busy and things get going, I would say that's the farthest from the low-hanging fruit. And that gets pushed off to the side because there's just nothing tangible that I can actually do with it.
Yeah, we've talked about this at length on various episodes, but I like to use the phrasing, what gets measured gets managed.
Yeah.
And so if you're thinking about setting a goal, whether that be a professional goal or a personal goal, back to Jen and Matt's point, the specificity is the key first element. If we don't make it specific, we're chasing some arbitrary thing that's out there, or we give ourselves internally a lot of reasons to say, well, I tried. Mm-hmm. I think I'm healthier. I feel a little better. It's almost like, well, what exactly was being measured around those parameters? What did the systems in place look like? Matt, I love your point on accountability. Who else knew about this?
Right.
Because if other people were aware, whether that's a spouse, a friend, a colleague, a leader, a manager, were aware that you wanted to put yourself in positions to communicate more in the workplace, then they would have offered you, hey, John, you take this next meeting. you take the lead on this project because you'll be able to present out to the clients on updates that we do every week, every other week, once a month. But if they weren't aware of those things, then to the point that Matt made, they might not look at some of the changes that you were looking to apply, or you give yourself that easy path or easy way out of saying, well, I was never given those opportunities, so the goal wasn't successful. And I think you've got to look back on, well, was the goal not successful because no one else knew that was a goal that you were chasing? And it's not saying you've got to tell everyone in the world, but having a system in place, a support group in place, accountability partners in place, often leads to a lot more fruitful outcomes, or you get those successes at the end of saying, okay, I put this date on the calendar. This is the goal I wanted to accomplish. Did I get it? Yes or no?
Yeah, and I think that that also goes into how we think about it subconsciously in our minds, because some of us are picking goals that are not attainable. They're measurable and we know how we want to try to get to them. But at the end of the day, we say, hey, where I'm trying to get to at the top of this set of stairs is a million stairs too far. And I'm really only looking to climb 15 to 20 of them. It's what I always say. And I'm sure we've heard it if you watch boxing or UFC or anything like that. But everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. So we have to have these actionable steps that are measurable, but also small. I always like to say baby steps start first, because starting to form that habit in small ways and then changing some of those maybe larger pieces within that habit are going to be a little bit easier than trying to change everything at once. Measurable is awesome, but it's almost better when it's small, small chunks or small, small pieces, and each of those combined is mounting up to that large change or that large difference you want to make.
It's why I love achievable coming right after measurable. You know, it's like you talk to kids. I've got a 3-year-old at home, and I'll ask Jack what he wants to be when he grows up. And at this stage, he can be anything he wants to be, truly. We don't know yet. And 18-year-old Jack asking him, what do you want to be? And him coming around and saying, geez, I want to be an NFL quarterback, but he hasn't played football a second in his life. It's almost like, all right, Jack, let's reassess something. Let's reframe how we're looking at some of these goals. But the same is true. It's almost as if you're going to do things specific and you want to have some measuring components in place, we do need to make sure the goal that we're looking or the top of the staircase we're looking to climb is actually an achievable staircase. And I like the idea, shoot for the stars, of course, make big, scary goals and then chase them down. But it has to be reasonable and it's got to be relevant. You've got to have some probably challenging conversations with yourself internally and say, is this something I think I can accomplish? And if so, I love the quote, bite off more than you can chew and chew it. It's like, go after some of those big, scary goals. And the worst that can happen, you're likely in a better place by the end of it than you were when you started, or nothing happened at all.
But on that note too, you have to have some wins. Because if you're never winning with the goals that you're setting, you're constantly beating yourself down and feeling like you're failing. And that's where then we throw the hard work out the window, we throw the goals out the window. I can't remember if it's James Clear or Adam Grant. I actually think it was an interview between the two, so I can't remember which of the two actually said it. But they were talking about meditation. You know, and a lot of people want to get better at meditation and just be able to clear their mind and focus on their breathing and all of the long-term benefits that meditation can have. But one of them said that somebody will set a goal to do 30 minutes of meditation every day. Well, if you've never meditated a day in your life, 30 minutes feels like setting aside an entire day and not doing a single thing. So all of a sudden, you're going to feel like you're failing throughout that entire 30 minutes. It's going to end up being more stress than it is actually beneficial. And so his recommendation, set a goal to meditate for 2 minutes a day. When you start to nail 2 minutes down consistently each week, you know, multiple days in a row, then push it up, maybe go for 4 minutes. And little by little, you work your way up to 30 minutes, but you don't just set this goal of 30 minutes and then consistently fail at doing it because that's where you then decide, ugh, this is just not worth it. I can't do it.
And the other piece that I like to draw it to, very similar for those getting little wins in the beginning to keep ourselves pushing, is when we ask for donations. Anytime you can think of donations being asked for, you see that they have that large thermometer with their goal being all the way up at the top, but they have their benchmark numbers. They have little checkpoints. Maybe their big number is 50,000, but we see a notch at 1,000, at 2,000, at 5,000, at 10, at 15, at 20, because for them, they say whenever we've reached one of those smaller goals, it's a step closer to meeting our large goal. For us in our own personal goal setting, doing the same thing, not only, like you say, gives us that small win, but it lets us know, hey, since I've crossed that first bridge, I'm more likely to cross this second bridge, even though there might be a little bit more distance in between. I got to the first one. This is just another one of those steps for me.
Stacking tiny wins, compounding a lot of that. I mean, it's the same way people talk about investing. Investing in a 401k, investing long term. You don't have to come up with $50,000 as your first piece of money, your first investment. But any small number, when you work with a wealth specialist or a financial manager, they'll show you this is what compounding looks like across a 10, 20, 50-year span. But if you always wait or say, geez, I don't have enough right now to even get started, well, then the number's going to be zero for a very long time.
And then I think one of you had talked about the relevancy, but it's also communicating to yourself, being clear in that and or other people why you're setting this goal. If you don't have that why behind it, again, chances are you're going to push it to the side on those busy days, on those seasons of life where things are stressful, you're caring for an aging parent, you've got kids' activities going left and right, you've got, home projects, big busy things going on at work, all of the different things that pop in. If you don't have that why behind the goal, you're stuck. That goal is going to easily get shoved off. So, whether it's something that if it's a personal goal, you write down and you keep telling yourself each day, my why behind getting up at 5 a.m., even though it's so hard to get to the gym, is because I want to be healthy for my family. I want to be able to have many years ahead, see my kids grow, spend time with my spouse, go on that vacation, whatever the thing might be. But you have to clearly write out or understand what the purpose and the why behind it. Otherwise, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah, Jen. And the big thing there too with the relevance is that things may not be relevant the entirety of the time. We have to find when they are relevant to know exactly kind of what that timeline looks like. For me, in my role, I may put more emphasis on selling in January to March. And maybe if I don't hit my goals may alternate in that April timeframe because of different factors within the market or different factors around me. But what I need to make sure I'm doing within these other four levels is make sure that this holds to my deadline. Whether it is a deadline I've set for myself, whether it is the deadline that up against the elements my goal needs to be completed by, this is going to keep me responsible. It's one of the big things we've talked about a little bit early. Jen has just mentioned it there as well, is the accountability aspect. And holding ourselves accountable is one of the hardest parts. When you get to that point a month down the line and you say, man, I was supposed to have changed my sales numbers by this much, the amount of research I was doing by this much, and all of these other things, and you notice you're still in the same place, sometimes all it takes is you not feeling great about that to make that additional change. That's the first piece. The second piece is, as we said, our priorities may switch. And if we've been asked to take care of something by a certain date, by a certain timeline, and we go without doing that, it doesn't just reflect poorly on us, but it may reflect poorly on how we're putting our eggs into other people's basket, our time management for the others, and our general prioritization. So again, making sure that we can stay in the good graces of those around us, those around our organization, especially as we start to think a little bit more into our own performance and try to have that not necessarily affecting or changing anything else going on around it.
Great points. So now that we talked a little bit about how we can set successful goals, of course, this is a communication podcast. So let's talk about how those effective communication skills that we always talk about can help support this goal setting. So, John, let me throw it to you first. What are a couple of recommendations that you have?
It's going back to making sure you share them out loud. Share them with a manager or a leader, share them with your team, but make sure others know that they exist. I would say write them down as well. I always think it's better to have two components than it is just one component. So if an audience has heard it or your support system has heard it, also make sure that you've got some tracking mechanism that's more hard copy. It can be electronic or it can be truly hard copy. But this way, you have the ability, going to what Matt just made a comment on, to adjust or adapt. If for some reason a certain goal that you set in quarter one has shifted after the first 6 weeks of the quarter, you can take a look at things and say, here's why I'm shifting this goal. Because I've got a new project on my plate. I have resources that are getting pulled in this direction or that direction. And with those two things being said, this goal that I had for Q1 is now going to get pivoted to Q2 because these responsibilities are more time bound for right now. Or I got notice from my leadership that this needed to be a focus point for the first quarter, and my goals were going to be focus points Q2 through Q4. But I do believe that getting those shared out loud and then having them transcribed, written down, noted somewhere allows for that trackability component to exist as well.
Yeah, and it goes back to that clarity too that we talked about earlier. We've talked about, organizing clear messages lots of times on the podcast previously. Even if it's a message for yourself, a goal you're writing for yourself, whether it's personally or professionally, again, if I don't have that clearly laid out where I know here's the goal, here's what I'm hoping to accomplish, and the, let's call it steps that I'm going to use to get there. And then to Matt's point, here's the time bound. Whether they're small check-ins, whether they are, a set deadline. If I don't have all of that clearly laid out, it's just this ambiguous thing that I'm constantly thinking about or that's floating around in my head, but I don't have, going back to that tangible piece, anything tangible to do as a next step or to work towards each week or each day or however we have it set up. So I think to your point, both sharing it out loud, but then also having it in that clearly written format allows you to really go back and actually put your hands on it and say, okay, here's the goal I set with all of the steps that I have. How am I doing on it?
Yeah, and I think this is one that I really like to touch on there, but it's also one that's not necessarily a communications tactic. It's just something we use in communications very often. And I like how you attach it back to the organization and the details in those different pieces. For me, it's as you're going through, don't be afraid to be clear to yourself. To say to yourself, hey, I know that there's going to be places that I may step off of this framework, I may step off of this path, and I may go wrong. Instead of getting angry at ourselves or fed up with ourselves or saying, hey, I'm not supposed to be doing that, focus on restarting, because sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is going back to that piece of paper that you wrote down or thinking about what you've said out loud to other people and saying, one, am I still embodying this? And two, if not, instead of blaming myself, saying, okay, what can I do to get back up on that horse and continue to move into the direction that I'm looking to move into? At the end of the day, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to revert to past habits. We're all going to do things we may not necessarily want to do as we're trying to change or rebuild these skills. Being able to forgive ourselves and continue to move through if we do come to one of those points of weakness is typically just as important and just as hard as not doing it in the first place.
And I would say, Matt, expecting setbacks is a good practice. Don't expect this to be the easiest route you've ever taken. Don't expect this to, oh my gosh, that goal was so simple to achieve. If that's the case, the goal may have been too shallow, too small, too little, or you may not have challenged yourself enough and left a whole bunch of meat on that bone to realize, wow, I set a goal to sell $500 worth of business this month, and I just sold $5,000 worth of business this month. I accomplished my goal. It's like, yes, you did. You hit it out of the park. But should your goal have been something more significant based on your performance? And it's the expectation that setbacks will occur, and that's okay. It's not a bad thing, but that truly means that you're on the right staircase, you're in the right lane, that I want to be in this place. I know it's going to be challenging at points. I know there's going to be days when I've got to use my support system or lean on leadership or my spouse, partner, significant other, if it's a personal goal. But those are all things that make the goal worth it. And you get to the top of that mountain at the end of it, and you feel rejuvenated, you feel good, And then goal setting going forward continues to build on those habits and compound.
Yeah, John. And I think the setback, you've talked about it on a previous episode, that acronym FAIL that you've discussed. And it's, I can't remember if it's either first attempt in learning or fabulous attempt in learning.
Yeah, fantastic attempt in learning, but yep.
Perfect. Yeah. So pick your F word if you want to, but
Yeah.
basically knowing that I am going to fail a couple of times throughout setting a goal. As Matt mentioned, anytime I'm looking to change behavior, some type of physical behavior, a habit that I do, something that I'm trying to do more of that maybe I dislike or even hate doing at this point, there are going to be those days that things don't go well. But just because you didn't eat healthy yesterday doesn't mean you can't start again tomorrow and get right
Yeah.
back on the horse. So if any time I go off track, I tell myself, well, I've already failed at this goal, you're never going to be successful at any of your goals. So anticipating and knowing that some of those failures, quote unquote, or setbacks are expected can also help you push through on those harder days, busy seasons, when things aren't as perfect as you set out for them to be.
Yeah, conditions are always going to change. Conditions are not always going to be sunny and clear, but that's okay because when you've shown up on those harder days or those cloudy, rainy, cold afternoons, it makes all the effort at the end of the race that much better. Or it makes those days that are perfect, quote unquote, right? Great conditions. This is awesome weather. I'm going to go out and nail this run. It's like, yes, you are, because you've done all the hard work or that painstaking work behind the scenes, so to speak, that's allowed this to exist.
And that is why I also always say that the next most important thing to believing in ourselves is having a support system that believes in us as well. Whether it is our coworkers, whether it's our managers, whether it's when we get home from work and we're talking this out to our significant other, our siblings, or whoever else it may be. We want to make sure that one, these people are in support of what we're saying, because the last thing we want to do is feel completely comfortable and completely confident within our minds. And then when we decide to share that, have that get stomped out or belittled in any way. So again, making sure that we have those people, but also making sure that those people are staying on top of us. It's that definition of tough love. Some of those people know that sometimes it's not because they want us to change, it's because we want ourselves to change, and they're just doing that role or playing that role to help us do so. Again, having those individuals that are going to stick to the bit, help you look at those measurable goals and hey, this is where you are, this is where you should be at, maybe I can help here or there. Those are typically going to be another excellent resource aside from just counting on ourselves or what we think of or the goals that we set out for ourselves.
Yeah, and that's that feedback piece. And that's a really important part of goal setting and effective communication. It's getting feedback from other people, whether it's unsolicited or unasked for, but also then going and doing a check-in, whether that's with yourself, again, if it's a personal goal, or going to your manager or your coworkers and saying, this is the goal that I set for the end of Q1. We're at the end of January. What could I be doing better? Where could I make some changes? I keep getting stuck in this section. Do any of you have any suggestions for how I can make that aspect of this goal a little bit smoother? But it's, again, if it's a personal goal, it's still having those check-ins and feedback revisions with yourself. How have things been going? Because if I wait until the quote unquote end of the goal, and then I do one feedback and I realize that, this really got in the way over the last 3 months, 6 months, 4 weeks, whatever your goal timeline may have been, I could have made some adjustments or done something differently within that time to feel more successful or to figure out that's not working. How can I fix it? How
Adapt.
can I work
Yeah.
around it? Adjust.
Right. How can I make a small change or make an adjustment that's going to allow the goal to be met or to end up successful? But more frequent checkpoints are going to allow for a higher rate of success.
Exactly. So when we think about goal setting in this coming year, try to lean on some of those communication tips that we consistently go through. Be specific, set out exactly what your goal is, measure it in some format, make it achievable or attainable so you're not setting that peak of the mountain goal, set perhaps smaller goals in between to reach that large goal that you have. Make sure it's relevant and you understand the why behind the goal setting that you're doing, and then continue to have that time bound. If it's just an ambiguous goal that's out there with no end in sight, you'll procrastinate or push it off till a later point. So whether that is at the end of the month, at the end of a quarter, halfway through the year, whatever your goal might be, make sure that there is a time frame to it. And then as much as you can, do those reflections, whether they're personally or with other people. As always, if you have another topic you would like to hear us discuss, please feel free to respond directly to our newsletter, and we will get that in the rotation for this coming year.
Thanks for listening to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast brought to you by Vautier Communications. Again, I am your host, Jen Alex. Vautier Communications is in the business of business communication skills. We coach and train both individuals and groups on how to elevate their presence and increase their impact through the way they communicate, present, and write. If you want to learn more about our in-person or virtual training options, visit our website at www.vautiercommunications.com. Thanks for listening.